Is there something in a podcast that really draws you in? Anything in particular that you find works really well in the podcasting area? Something that makes you feel this is something that I would want to listen to?
Yeah. For me personally, I love anything that tells me, I find myself drawn to shows that are like, we're going to make something interesting that's not interesting at all. And then they're like, let's talk about broccoli. And then they're like, let's talk about cement. And then the next episode is, let's talk about neon. And I just love that. Maybe they do the history of it. Maybe they weave in the person who discovered neon. I don't know. Can you discover neon? I think you can because it's on the periodic table of elements. Might need to be manipulated. Either way.
Yes.
These are the kind of things. These are shows that I find myself going back to time and time again.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the first part of my conversation with Ariel Nissenblatt. My next guest is a big fan of podcasts and the podcast industry. She's the founder of Earbuds Podcast Collective, a podcast recommendation newsletter, the host of several podcasts about the podcast industry, a show about podcast recommendations, and a show about podcast trailers, and regularly appears on podcasts about podcasts to talk about, you guessed it, podcasts. She's on the board of governors of the Podcast Academy and speaks at conferences around the world on podcast marketing and community building. Outside of podcast stuff, she is totally fulfilled and well-rounded, promise. Her name is Ariel Nissenblatt, and I'm looking forward to hearing her perspective as a longtime advocate for the podcasting industry, both on what's happening now and where we're heading into the future. If you've ever thought about starting a podcast of your own or are looking to know more about getting the most from your current podcast, keep listening. This is a conversation you won't want to miss. As always, if you have questions for my guest, you're welcome to reach out through the links in the show notes. If you have questions for me, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com, where you'll find a lot of ways to get in touch. Plus, subscribing to the newsletter will let you know when the new podcasts are available and what the newest audio chats will be about. And if you're getting some value from listening, the best ways to show your support are to share this podcast with a friend and leave an honest review. Both those things really help, and I'd love to feature your review on future podcasts. And now, here's my conversation with Ariel Nissenblatt.
Welcome, Ariel. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
So happy to be here.
Yes. We were having this discussion earlier, but yes, just unfortunately, the leaf blowers have decided to take up residence next to my window, which, you know, as podcasters, we know this happens.
It's a joke at this point. They know, and then they come for you.
Yes, it's totally true. Same in voice acting, actually. The minute that you're about to record something for your job, a project or something like that, someone outside decides to make a lot of noise. So here we are. I hope that your day has been going really well so far. And just wanted to ask you the very first question I always ask everyone on this podcast. And that is if you can tell me a story of an early memory of how sound moved you.
Yes, I can tell you that. I loved listening to the radio growing up. I still do, actually. I bet a lot of people start this way. I was not into talk radio or podcasts or anything that would eventually become something like podcasts until 2014 when I graduated from college. But there is a radio station in my hometown called 107.1 The Peak. WXPK is the call sign. And I started listening to it sometime in high school. So it's not my first sound memory for sure, but it's one that really sticks out in my mind. And to this day, I maintain that that station can do no wrong. Every single song that they play is the one that you need at that moment. And for some reason, when I was a senior in high school, it always played Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2, like on Friday afternoons when I needed to rock out after school. And yeah, epic highway entertainment.
They knew. They had an inkling of who was listening, probably.
Yeah.
Good for them. Yeah. My earliest memory of radio is actually listening to what was called 590 CKEY here in Toronto when I was a kid, and 6 or 7 trying to go to sleep. And I could never go to sleep without the radio.
Wow.
So I needed the radio on. And it was playing oldies, which at the time was like Nat King Cole. Like, you know,
wow.
We're talking way oldies.
So cool.
So I was a weird kid. I was not listening to the stuff that was on the radio for my age group. I was listening to my parents' oldies. So, yeah, but it sticks with you. You're so right. Radio has that way of getting into our psyche and sort of giving us what we need at the moment, which is a really good analogy there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the excitement for me about radio is the serendipity. A song that I would skip if it came up on my Spotify, I would not skip. I would be more excited about it, even if it were like a mainstream song, one of the classic radio hit plays. If you find it on Spotify and it comes on, you're going to skip it because you can. But if you find it on the radio and you come across it, you recognize it, it's kind of a fun feeling. You can sing along. So I think we give a little bit more leeway to the radio.
That is really interesting. Yeah. And I wonder where podcasting comes in with that, because, I mean, obviously the radio made a huge impression on you. But how did podcasting get into your psyche?
Yeah. Not till later. The one memory I have of podcasting from before 2014, when I really start my journey, when I really count as having started my journey, is that in college, one of my professors put his lectures up on iTunes University, I think, and it was available as a podcast, and he suggested that we all go download that lesson. I did not, because at the time, it wasn't in my practice to go for a walk and listen to something. I would listen to music, sure, but I wasn't actively doing the things that I do now to purposefully listen to a podcast. So, and I'm sure I'll get into that. But in 2014, when I graduated from college, I moved to Mississippi for a job. And my roommate listened to podcasts all the time on loud in the kitchen, no headphones. And I was like, first annoyed at her, but then I found myself kind of like creeping into the kitchen to hear the end of the story and wanted to find out more. So sheepishly one day I was like, what is that? I knew what a podcast was, but she really introduced me to the shows that I started out on, 99% Invisible, This American Life, Memory Palace, Radio Lab, things like that. Mm-hmm. And from there, I discovered a bunch more shows, but it definitely took the coaxing of the roommate and the playing aloud, but also because my office was a bunch of recent college grads, and they all grew up as part of public radio families, and they talked about the news, and they had inside jokes about the newscasters, and I wanted to have those inside jokes too.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting, though. So what were the first podcasts that the one that led you into the kitchen? I'm curious.
I think it was 99% Invisible or Radio Lab. I can't fully recall.
So it was the storytelling that drew you? What
I think
was
so.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So do you still go for storytelling podcasts now? Is that
I go for
you're...
everything now.
Okay.
I definitely like storytelling. Mm-hmm. But and I even like the moth style storytelling where somebody gets up on a stage and tells a 5-minute story mm-hmm. on a theme. But more so I like the stories that maybe you'll tell me about a time period in history, but there's a through line throughout the whole thing. I was actually just listening to something that I thought was, oh, I love this show so much. Mm-hmm. There's a show called Mobituaries. It's Mo Rocca from CBS Sunday Morning.
Okay.
He's often on the podcast, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And he has a podcast called Mobituaries, which is obituaries, but his name is Mo. So he basically eulogizes somebody or something. And the episode I'm listening to is actually from 2019. I listened to it then, and it was one of the best episodes of anything I've ever listened to. It's about Neanderthals, and he eulogizes Neanderthals and where the when did we learn about them? How did we first discover them? How do they contribute to how we view humans today? So what I like about this is, yes, there's storytelling involved. He brings us in with a story. He weaves in storytelling throughout, but he's not necessarily telling us from his perspective why Neanderthals mean so much to him. So yes, storytelling is big, but I also use podcasts for utilitarian purposes. I listen for news. I listen for updates. I listen to learn more about the industry that I'm a part of.
Sure. Education definitely is a part of that. Yeah. Learning more about things that you're interested in. Yeah. Which is kind of the point of this podcast, too. Yeah. So, yeah.
Are you looking for ways to improve your company's or podcast's impact? You'd be surprised how powerful the use of an intentional audio branding strategy can be. Want to know more? I have a free downloadable PDF that gives you my 5 tips for implementing an intentional audio strategy at voiceoversandvocals.com/audio-branding-strategy. That location does ask to put you on a mailing list, just to send you updates on when the new podcasts come out. But if you really don't want to give your email out, I understand. Just contact me directly. My email is all over my website, and I'll make sure you get that PDF without needing to sign up anywhere. If you do sign up, though, you also get access to a resources section called The Studio, where I have videos, white papers and PDFs, discounts from my guests, and snippets of audio from my guests that no one else gets to hear. So maybe it's worth your while. Totally up to you. And of course, if you're looking for voiceovers, you can get in touch with me about that, too. Now, back to the podcast.
Is there something in a podcast that really draws you in? Anything in particular that you find works really well in the podcasting area? Something that makes you feel this is something that I would want to listen to?
Yeah. For me personally, I love anything that tells me I find myself drawn to shows that are like, we're going to make something interesting that's not interesting at all. And then they're like, let's talk about broccoli. And then they're like, let's talk about cement. And then the next episode is, let's talk about neon. And I just love that. Maybe they do the history of it. Maybe they weave in the person who discovered neon. I don't know. Can you discover neon? I think you can, because it's on the periodic table of elements. Might need to be manipulated. Either way.
Yes.
These are the kind of things. These are shows that I find myself going back to time and time again. I also love anything history. So biography type podcasts. I think we should call them biopods, not biopics, but biopods. Anything like that is very exciting to me. I think the element that's throughout all of those is that there is a clear thing that they're coming back to. There's a thesis. Whereas I'm into a show that is daily and it's chatty and it's 1 hour in the morning and it's 1 hour in the afternoon. I do listen to a show like that, The Daily Zeitgeist. I love it. I always shout it out. But, you know, for that, they don't have a thread necessarily. They got inside jokes. And I think that is, my brain sticks onto that as the similar thing between a chat show and a storytelling show that gives us a thread of something to come back to as the thesis.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the radio shows that we're on that people paid attention to. So,
totally.
Yeah, I guess it's like, you know, they become like a favorite family member.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I don't know, for example, I listen to the show every day. One of my good friends listens to the show every day. Today, I texted her just being like, reminder. And then I threw in one of the reminders that one of the hosts always gives. And she just got it immediately. And that's a really fun thing that you're able to do.
Yeah. We used to do this around the water cooler. Doesn't really happen all that much anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of interesting developments in podcasting these days that have changed actually since the pandemic. So I actually wanted to ask you about that as well, if you've noticed any differences between before the pandemic and after, because, you know, we've had a lot more time with podcasts now since the pandemic. And I wonder, did you see any change to the podcasts themselves or just to people's listening patterns?
There's definitely changes to listening patterns. But I also think listening patterns change all the time because people's commutes change all the time, because people's tolerance for, I don't know, listening only changes all the time, because people, you know, have a drive and maybe they're on a long stretch of driving where they're going to be driving for a few weeks. So they're super podcast listeners in November, but not in December. But yes, content wise, what has changed is, I think this is the case still, that, you know, you have an idea, you're going to start a podcast. Maybe it's maybe the idea is a good idea, but you don't execute it well. During the pandemic, those shows boomed. A lot of people with a lot of ideas. A lot of people having fun with their friends. A lot of people just wanting to connect virtually and maybe make something out of it, give themselves the challenge of branding it and marketing it and things like that. A lot of great shows came out of that and still exist to this day. And a lot of shows came out of that and are done, and they're pandemic era shows. And if you go back and listen to them, it's very fear-mongery and scary. And you can hear, even if it's like a chat show about nothing, it's like, oh, wow, they told us not to touch our faces today. Do you remember that? That was like a whole thing in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, that's going to save us.
Oh, yeah. And clean everything that comes into your house with disinfectant. Like, what?
Yeah. And now I do think that people are still making shows without thinking about a marketing plan, but I think that people are a little bit more choosy now with the content that they make because they know that it's hard to grow a podcast. I am on every social media possible, and gosh, it's so many people constantly asking how to start a podcast and then being coming back a few months later and saying that they stopped because they couldn't grow it because
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And it's okay to make a show for the fun of things, but you can't really have expectations about reaching tens of thousands of listeners every episode.
Well, also, people definitely want to they seem like they want to monetize right out of the gate. And unfortunately, this is something that doesn't pay you until you deliver something of value.
Yeah.
And you need to deliver that value first. So it takes a certain amount of tenacity. And I think that when it comes to what we just discussed, which is how much work this takes, not a lot of people are willing to continually, consistently put in the work. And I mean, you're not going to monetize if you're not going to do that.
Right.
But also, if that's the only reason you're doing
it.
Like that, it just, you have to have a passion for what you're doing or you're just not going to do it.
I mean, I do so many projects that make me little to no money, but they sort of, there's other reasons for me to be doing them.
They feed your soul.
Yeah. And they eventually work as a funnel to the things that I do for a living. I host two podcasts about the podcast industry. They don't make money, but they indirectly make money because people find them and then they want to contact me for consulting, right?
Sure.
So these are all things that I make because I love, but it's a lot of work. And you kind of have to decide what's the trade-off. I like it because I work in the podcast industry. I want to definitely be able to say that I have a podcast, that I'm testing the tech, that I'm in the shoes of the people who are also making podcasts. I also want to be able to be in touch with creators. So both of my shows are listener submission shows. You can submit a podcast trailer. I'll feature the trailer and then I'll talk about the trailer. That's Trailer Park, the podcast trailer podcast. And then I have another and then I have another show called Podcast Elevator Pitch, where people send in a pitch for a show that they've made that they don't think got enough love, because limited run series are very hard to market because they're short. Your runway is not super long. So I've got both of those shows. They're hard work. They take up time, but I love doing them because it allows me to do all of these things. It allows me to be in touch with people. It allows me to practice so much more. So,
yeah, I was going to ask you to tell us about those podcasts, but you just did. So no need to do that. So you know how hard this is to do. And you were involved with Descript for a long time, right?
Yes.
So what got you into that and then what got you out?
So what got me into that is actually that I worked at Squadcast for about 3 years. Squadcast is a remote recording platform. And I joined, I was like the seventh employee in 2020. And over the next 2 years, we grew to about 13 people. And my role there was community manager. And then I was also doing a lot of work on the content side of things. They had a weekly blog post that would go out. We had a weekly podcast at a point. We had weekly YouTube videos, even, where we worked with an outside consultant who, helped us figure out the strategy there. But we needed to publish, we needed to promote, we needed to have a newsletter, all that stuff. So I was doing that. It was a lot. It was great, though, because I had a lot of freedom to test things out. My bosses there, they were super kind and nurturing, and I just learned a lot from working there. And then in June of 2023, Squadcast was acquired by Descript. So all of us from Squadcast moved over to Descript. So now I was on a bigger team, another community manager, and she and I were working together to understand the Descript community, to understand podcasters, to understand video creators, to understand anybody who might be using Descript to make something. And I was in that role for about a year and a half, and then I just left about 2 months ago. And I think overall, I am interested in software. I liked working for software for 3.5-4 years, but ultimately, I think I want to be more on the creative side of things. Not that software is not creative. I actually do think that there are elements of marketing software that is super creative. You have to be creative in order to find new outlets, in order to have conversations. But I think I want to be on the side of creativity that is more singularly focused on entertaining people or helping people entertain people.
So, sure. Yeah.
So now I'm moving a little bit more towards the content side of things and working with creators who are making things and helping them get them out to the world.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. Quick question. Do you know anyone else who could benefit from hearing more about how powerful sound can be? If so, would you mind sharing this podcast with them? It would mean so much to me. Now, I'll stop interrupting and let you get back to the show.
Before we move on further to that, which I definitely want to cover, Descript, can you just describe that to people as like, what is it and how can it help a podcaster?
Yeah, absolutely. So Descript is really, really powerful. And I had downloaded it and tried it a few times before I worked there, but I never really got the hang of it, which is an interesting insight that I definitely took into account when I worked there, that the barrier to entry might be high for some folks who have never done transcript-based editing, because Descript is a podcast editor, an audio editor, a video editor that works by transcribing your audio or your video. And then you can cut that audio or video as if you're editing a Word doc. So if you said something at the beginning of your conversation that you think would actually be better at the end of the show, all you have to do is highlight that and copy and paste it. And I think that is such an unlock for so many people. It means that a lot of people have access to editing video and audio that did not have access to it before. So yeah, it's a really, really powerful tool. I use it almost every day, whether it's for recording and editing or for making social content.
Yeah, it sounds really useful. I know a lot of people who do use it on a regular basis. Curious as to your perspective on this, though. I've always noticed that editing the audio sounds a lot more seamless than editing the video.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
This is because there is no band-aid solution to jump cuts in video like that. If you had all of the resources in the world, you would tell your guest on the other side of the screen, if they were to retake something, to sit exactly as they were sitting before so that the jump cut wouldn't look as extreme. But as far as I know, there's no built-in transition button that you can hit that would make a jump cut go away. However, we're lucky because we live in a day and age where jump cuts are cool on YouTube and on TikTok and things like that. So
true, yeah.
Whenever people ask me about that, I'm like, hey, no, actually don't worry about it because the kids are liking it.
Yeah, I guess if they get used to it, then yeah, everyone's getting used to it.
Yeah, and as for audio, you can cut out ums, you can cut out people saying the same thing twice, you can cut out if somebody made a joke that they later decided they didn't want to say, you can cut all of that out, and because you can pause and then come back, you can cut out that whole piece of silence, and it'll seem like it wasn't cut out. It'll seem like it never existed in the first place. And you don't have that visual aid to rely on that has me like paused staring deer in the headlights at the camera.
True enough. Yeah. I guess when you're actually editing in something like Pro Tools or Adobe Audition or stuff like that, you can do an edit from a breath, really, mm-hmm. pretty much.
You can actually do that from Descript too.
I'm sure you could. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I mean, yes, in Pro Tools, you would see the waveform, you'd see mm-hmm. the breath. In Descript, you can see what's wordless media is what it's called. It looks like a little slash on the screen, and you can highlight that and cut it out, or you can go to the waveform at the bottom of the screen and cut it out that way.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't know you could actually do both.
Yeah, it's
so
pretty cool.
Yeah.
I use both.
It does. It sounds really useful. Are there any other AI tools that you use on a regular basis for podcasting? I'm just curious as to what you are liking right now.
Yeah. I also have been playing around with Adobe's podcast offerings. So they recently launched a really cool feature called Enhanced Speech V2, which it's the version 2 of something that they launched a few years ago, but it is like mind-blowingly good. Basically, I could go outside and be recording this podcast episode and there would be city noises and lots of people, some high frequencies, some low frequencies.
Leaf blowers.
Cuts out all of that. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
It cuts out all of that and it's miraculous. It's really just, I don't know how it works. I'm not asking. So yes, I'm using that. Other than that, I am using ChatGPT to organize myself. I could be doing it a little bit more. And I don't plan on using it for aiding the creative sides of things, but to script out my workflow, to script out how to outline something, that is something that I would like to get more into. Other than that, I'm not super big on AI tools. I make a lot of audio and videograms in Descript, and of course that's helped by AI, but it's not generative AI. It's just using artificial intelligence to, you know,
sure,
do a few things here and there.
Yeah.
Difference between generative AI and AI, you know, I think a lot of people mix them up, but I think on the creative side of things, I plan to stick to AI for the sake of landscaping, if that makes
sense. That makes sense. Yeah. Just to organize and stuff like that. What do you think about show notes? Because I know a lot of people use AI for the show notes and don't rely on a human writing that at all.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that.
Yeah. Is it worth writing the show notes? Do you think people are actually like reading these at this point?
I think it has a lot to do with the kind of show you have. For example, I have a friend who has a real estate podcast, really not the highest listenership in the world, doesn't need to have the highest listenership in the world. But the people who listen are very into it because it's their industry. They want to hear from the people that my friend is interviewing. And they also want to know about the products that are being advertised on the show. So in order to learn more information, they can go to the links in the show notes, and the calls to action on the show are very clear about that. So in that case, the show notes are read and they are clicked. And you can, of course, use a Bitly link or a Bitly URL to make sure that you're capturing how people are finding these links and that your links are actually working. You know, people are actually going to the show notes and checking it out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know. I have a podcast called Daily Tips That May or May Not Help You with Ariel and Ned. It is a daily show, 1 to 2 minutes, that we literally just talk about a thing that has helped us in the world, or we have listeners submit tips that have helped them. And it's all about something that may or may not help you. It's fun. We do video and we do audio. For that, the show notes don't really matter. And if we were to use ChatGPT to be like, hey, please make show notes about this one-minute episode about like the best way to clean your bathroom, it would be reaching for things. And it would sound really fluffy and lofty. And I just don't think you need it. I think for that kind of episode, 1 to 2 minutes, we want you to tune in. So I think unless there was like a specific tool that we were advertising that cleans the bathroom,
mm-hmm,
I'm good to have a pretty bare bones show notes in that situation.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. For this show, I actually have a human writer, and this is a blog post. This will be a blog post with the player at
That's another way to do it.
I don't know, just picking one out of all the amazing content there's been between the podcast and Clubhouse could be tough to do, but if I had to pick one, I think it would be the podcast with Brandi Sanders. There was so much information, good information there, crammed into 60 minutes, and she has so much energy doing it. That is still one of my favorite audio branding podcasts, so thank you, Jody.
But this is kind of like an educational dig deep into sound kind of thing.
Right.
So
people are learning.
Yeah, people are learning. And there are links that they should check out. The people that I interview, that I speak with on the podcast, definitely their links should be clicked, you know,
because
that's why they're here.
But also, so, I would say that you turning this into a blog post is more than a lot of people do. And you're able to do that because you hire somebody who not only writes it from the lens of being show notes, but also from the lens of being something that lives on your website. So that's really exciting.
Yeah.
And it serves dual purposes. So you you can go from there and make it into a LinkedIn post and then maybe an infographic for Instagram. So many things you can do. I one of the podcasts that I host, Trailer Park, the podcast Trailer Podcast, mm-hmm. I do a little bit more by way of show notes. I do a paragraph about the trailer that I'm featuring. I do a paragraph about my show. I then do a bunch of links in bullet points, and then I do credits. So again, it's not like I'm not writing out the lessons that you're going to learn from the trailer that I'm featuring.
Sure.
You can go in and listen for that, but theoretically I could. I just think it's all about where you want to spend your time.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot that can go into this. Part of what I like about doing the show notes is that the person that I'm hiring is someone who knows me pretty well. Yeah. So he can speak in my voice, it really does help with the show because it lets people in on the thought processes that go behind why we're doing what we're doing. And it sounds like me. So,
yeah.
you know, that's kind of the point. Yeah.
This has been part one of our interview. I hope you'll tune in next week for part two. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.